Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Well, good morning. Is this working? Oh, yeah. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, yeah. So just before we get started, I wonder, anybody ever hear of Houston Smith? He's considered one of the last metaphysical or Christian metaphysics teachers. And I guess he's even lived longer than Ed Rabel, but he just passed away in 2016. But considered a master of what we call Christian metaphysics, which is what we're all about. And he has an article in April. Is that truthunity.net? Truthunity.net. Has everybody ever been onto that site? Great site if you want to really get a lot of stuff on unity and metaphysics. But Truth John. So he wrote an article talking about how there's two trends going on in unity. But this has been going on for a long time, because when we started 20-something years ago, I would talk about this, how a lot of unities were moving away from the Christian roots because new thought has a tendency to draw people what we call unchurched and dechurched. And a dechurched mainly means they were going to a regular Christian church and got tired of hearing God and Jesus and the Bible, you know, all the time shoved down their throats, and so they left. So unity and other new thoughts begin to move away from the Christian idea, more from new thought to new age, to kind of draw these people in. And I mean, from day one, I was saying that my perspective is, instead of shying away from the Christian roots, is to give us a better metaphysical understanding of Jesus, God, the Bible, and so forth. And that's what we've always been about. But he has a really interesting article about how unity is distancing itself from the idea of Christianity. But I tell you, if somebody asks you, what is unity all about? You say, we are a Christian organization and we believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, straight up. Okay? And that's what very much what we're about here. But we are very much not just we, Unity Center of Light, but Unity from Charles and Myrtle Fillmore are metaphysical Christians. We're looking at the deeper meaning in the Bible. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that idea with you, because it was a very good article. If you go out there to truthunity.net and put in Houston Smith, you'll see that article. He has a book out, which I highly recommend. It's Why Religion Matters, The Fate of the Human Spirit in an Age of Disbelief. It's a very good book on the whole idea of metaphysics. And again, to help you understand, unity metaphysics, or the Christian metaphysics as established by Charles Fillmore, is it has five levels to it. And hopefully you guys remember, you know, it's theology, cosmology, psychology, mysticism, and science. So we incorporate all those ideas. Another thing about unity, too, is that I can have a very good discussion with my Buddhist friend, who is my Dr. New, our chiropractor. He's Buddhist, and we were having a discussion the other day, and he was going, man, he goes, I'm usually afraid to say anything to Christians because they keep wanting to tell me if I don't believe in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I'm going to hell. I says, no, that's not us. And so we got into a real good discussion on it and found that our thought systems were very much the same. So that sort of unity is, how do I blend my thinking with the thinking of others as opposed to looking for differences? Yeah, so that I just wanted to share that before we got started. And you know, along with that, today's talk is going to have a lot of deep metaphysical looks at the concept of God and our relationship to that. Today's talk is called, it's not in your bulletin, but it's called The Divine Source That Never Fails. The series is going to be called The Ten Commandments of Prosperity. But it really doesn't matter what the title is, right? we're always going to be, you know, looking more deeply at these spiritual ideas. But anyway, we're on our spiritual journey to get answers to the complex but simple questions we have about ourselves, our relationship to this concept called God. And in this lesson, we're going to describe this idea from the standpoint of God being this the divine resource that never fails. So if we were Moses, if we had the opportunity of Moses to stand in front of the burning bush, and everybody understands that the burning bush was not something outside of Moses, but it was a burning desire inside of Moses for him to know more about God. So if we were able to stand in front of God and ask for an exclamation to the question, who am I, who are you, and who am I in relationship to you? You know, this is a hypothetical answer we might get, all right? I represent the source of all matter. I exist because I exist. What he said to Moses is what? I am that I am. I exist because I exist. And I am the reason for the universe to exist. I live in the highest scientific paradoxes imaginable, but I'm responsible for the emotions of a single human heart. I am the smallest part of physics and the largest part of the universe. I represent all light. I am the space between the nucleus of the atoms and the electron haze. I'm the most abundant force in the universe and the most powerful source of energy. I am from the most distant yet most powerful force in the universe. I am the sands and the hourglass of time, yet I am the center where there is no time. And this is the part we're going to work with. I am the creative force that allows physics to respond to consciousness. Therefore, I am a miracle, or simply, I am love. That's powerful, isn't it? All right? And if you're thinking, what if you think, I have no idea what that means, all right? It's the same as saying to yourself, I have no idea who I really am. So when you hear explanations like this, and some of you heard me do the explanation from Thomas Troward of I Am That I Am. I don't know if you know, I think I've done it here a few times. I know I've done it in Capon Springs. But again, those definitions are, they're so mind-blowing because it takes a lot to try to describe what is this idea called God. But if you're thinking that, you know, I have no idea what this means, it is actually the same thing as saying, I have no idea who I am, all right? And because, as we said, you know, this high vibrational being of love is actually the essence of who we truly are. It says in Genesis, we are made of what? In the image and likeness. So we are that divine image, energy expressing. And we are the high vibrational beingness. Pay attention to this one. We're the high vibrational spiritual beings who volunteered to lower our vibration so we could enter into this human experience. All right? For the express purpose of increasing the vibration of love of everyone else. You get what I'm saying? So we are spiritual beings having a human experience. We all know that. Not just Unity says that. A lot of different organizations want to say that. So we're high vibrational beings who decided to lower our vibration and come into the human experience in order to raise the vibration of the planet. And if you do the readings of Kryon, he says we were actually standing online waiting for our turn to come in, right? So, and again, you know, these are thought processes for the mind to play with, right? And also the purpose of this series, this high vibrational spiritual being of love is the essence of our prosperity because it is the source of all matter, the creative force that allows physics to respond to our consciousness. So this high vibrational being is the divine source that never fails. Okay? And so I repeat, this high vibrational being of love is the essence of our being, the essence of who in truth we really are, which means that we have some work to do to discover who we really are. So when we say, who am I? Like, have you ever been for a job interview? I went for one time with Marriott Corporation 100 years ago, all right? And the person said to me, if I was to ask your wife to describe you, what would she say about you? That was just a creative way of telling me about yourself, right? You know how that is. And then you try to figure out how to, oh, I'm smart, I'm intelligent, I'm cute, I'm, you know, we go through all these things trying to describe ourselves, right? But in essence, we're really none of those things. Those are the things that are the persona, the mask that we're hiding behind because we don't understand who we really are. Is that making sense? Okay. So in the discovery of that truth, will at the, you know, who I really am, at the same time will put us in touch with the unlimited divine substance, which is the stuff that is the foundation supporting living an abundant life. So you say, I really want to live an abundant life. Of course, an abundance means different things to different people. All right, I was describing to somebody in a conversation, we were talking about that. I said, you know, there are people who, you've heard me say this, move from the lower 48 up to Alaska into communities and dry cabins. They only have running water. And when they want to eat, they got to go out and kill something because there's no grocery stores around. But to them, that's abundance because they're no longer dealing with the rat race or the lower 48. You see what I'm saying? So abundance has to be according to what that means in your own consciousness. But what I'm saying is that once we discover the truth about ourselves, then we're right in touch with this unlimited divine substance, which is the foundation supporting all the things that our mind says that it wants. And again, remember, this the physics allows what we're thinking to become our reality. Okay? And this, all of this, again, is if you want to do some other reading, all I'm going to be talking about is based on the book Prosperity's Ten Commandments by Georgiana Tree West. I don't know if you've heard of her. And the actual commandment we're going to deal with today is thou shalt have no other gods before me. Okay. Now, the author in the book says, the first commandment is the very foundation of Christianity. You shall have no other gods before me. This means we have to acknowledge no other source of life, love, wisdom, power than our Creator. It is only from this secure foundation that we can bring into manifestation our spiritual perfection. And in this same commandment, we find the only sound basis for the manifestation of permanent prosperity. It is the first commandment of the spiritual economics, which is, you shall look to no other source but God for your supply. You shall look to no other source but God for the health in your body. You shall look to no other, you follow where I'm going? I could keep going on with that, okay? So that's what that first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me, is talking about. Don't look to any other source. And again, as I'm going through this talk, our intellect is going to have a tendency to say, but no, I have to do this. You know what I'm saying? All right, so just kind of, you know, let your mind work with it. Now, you should look to no other source but God for your supply. Why? Because it is explained in the opening statement, I am the creative force that allows physics to respond to consciousness. Therefore, I am a miracle. I'm the creative force that allows physics to respond to your consciousness. Now, we've heard that before, right? In different ways, haven't we? Okay, so as I'm thinking, I'm doing what? I'm creating my world. All right. As I'm thinking, I'm creating my world. I'm creating my experience. Okay. And as Georgiana Tree West puts it, through the process of mind, thoughts project its ideas into the realm of form. All right. And I say it again, through the process of thought, mind projects its ideas into the realm of form. And when the ideas generated in mind are true to the spiritual power that enables us to be, to think, to act, they appear in the realm of form in ways that make for peace of mind, health of body, and abundant well-being. Now, let me read that again because the question is, I'm having these thoughts and they're creating these situations in my life, all right? But listen to how he put it. When the ideas generated in mind are true to the spiritual power that enables us to be, to think, to act, they appear in the realm of form in ways that make for peace of mind, health of body, and abundant well-being. So your consciousness has to be in tune with this divine process that you're working with in order to create the kind of life that you want. And you got to sit with that for a minute, right? Okay? So the question to explore is, what is the spiritual power that enables us to be, to think, to act in ways that make for peace of mind, health of body, and abundant well-being? The spiritual power is, that's it, love. I saw you mouthing it, exactly. The spiritual power is love, right? So when you're acting outside of that dynamic, you're creating stuff in your life still, but it is not what you want, right? And then you're asking yourself, Lord, why me? Okay? So therefore, everything that is not of love is supporting or engaging something other than God, which is putting a God before God, and that false God is fear. All right? So, now Paul explains in Romans 13, 8 through 14. And this is kind of long, so stay with me. Romans 13, 8 through 14. Do not owe anyone anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. All the commandments, such as you shall not commit adultery, which means disloyalty or faithlessness, all right? You shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, meaning lust after or pine after somebody else's good, or any other commandment are all summed up in this one sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides, do you know what hour it is? How it is full time now for you to wake from the sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night, ignorance, is far gone, and the day, understanding, is at hand. So let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly in the day, not in carousing and drunkenness and immorality and promiscuity, but not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now again, purely literally, that's kind of a mouthful, all right? Especially that part, that last part. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Now, this is where it gets interesting. This idea, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires, is probably one of the most challenging and confusing concepts for us to embrace in this whole idea of living the Christian life. Even though some of us may be busy thinking, just the thought of carousing, drunkenness, and promiscuity at my age will make me tired just thinking about it. Okay. But what it means in Scripture is make no provision, when it says make no provision for the flesh to gratify itself, if you go to the revealing word, flesh is a metaphor for human consciousness expressing itself through its appetite for physical gratification while not realizing that our appetite for physical gratification is really an erroneous substitute for our desire for spiritual union. So when you say this is what, you know, your body is craving for something, it's craving externally because it doesn't know how to connect internally to get that, what it's looking for, okay? And we, you know, the true, this idea of tapping into that inner essence is a true essence of who we really are. In other words, in our craving for physical gratification, we are unconsciously saying, I don't know God or have an experience of God, so I'm going to gratify myself with physical substitutes. And all of us will say, oh, I know God. But when something comes up and it has you, you know, craving, moving in a direction that you know is not going to get you the results you want, but you just can't help yourself, is because we don't really know God. What we're saying we know God is the intellect or the ego saying, I know God, so when I'm talking to you, I look like something. But we do not really know and understand this divine process called God. So the scripture in Matthew 6:33 speaks to the fact that if you sought and gained spiritual union first, which we know the verse, right? Say it with me. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, then physical gain would be a natural byproduct of your divine union. All these things shall be added unto you. You seek the consciousness first, then all the physical stuff you say you want just comes. Is that, you kind of get the, at least the idea of it, okay? So I repeat again, physical gain would be a natural byproduct as opposed to the main addiction. Why? Because as we read in the opening explanation, In conscious union with God, I would realize that I am the creative force, the high vibrational being that allows physics to respond to consciousness, or as Georgiana Tree West puts it, through the process of thought, my mind projects its ideas into the realm of form. Right? From pure physics, that which is invisible is always seeking to become visible. That which is unmanifest is always seeking to become manifest. But it can only do it through us. What you want can only be done through you. As my Buddhist friend and I were saying, you know, when you heard me say this 1,000 times, you say to God, I want. And that want is usually something physical, car, house, vacation, retirement, whatever. God is going, I have no idea what that is. I am pure potential that takes form through you, through your thought, through your belief, through your faith, through your inner desire. Okay? So that's what we kind of got to get past this idea of thinking, that God is doing this for me. God is always available to be anything you want God to be. I am that I am. All right? So, as I said a minute ago, our typical unconscious mindset is, since I don't know God or have the experience of God, I will gratify myself with physical substitutes. But just think, if you are aware that you have the ability or you have within your grasp the keys to the storehouse of the universe, would you be preoccupied with physical gratification or what the Bible calls gratifying the desires of the flesh? If you knew you had the keys to the kingdom, that new movie that's out with Will Smith, Aladdin, I haven't seen it yet, I saw the commercials. So, you got the lamp. Rub the lamp, the genie comes out, say, this is what I want. Genie says, good, here it is, right? But we've got that genie inside of us. If you knew that you had that, right, you wouldn't be preoccupied with all this stuff out here. And in Matthew 6:33, again, seek ye first his kingdom is the foundation and the heart of the entire prosperity process. It is your intellectual gratification or justification for putting in the time to establish a conscious awareness of God as your invisible, permanently perpetual principle of abundant supply. The supply is always there. It can never run out. So when we think to ourselves, geez, I don't know if I'm going to have enough for retirement, or I don't think I'm going to have enough for, you follow me? When you're thinking that, you're totally out of touch with this infinite, eternal, perpetual process within you that will always be available to supply whatever needs you have. Okay? And the key here, too, is not that we're going to say, okay, now that I heard that, I kind of got it. You get it on an intellectual level where you can really kind of say to yourself, boy, I'm caught up in that mindset again. I can't seem to get myself out of this mindset. You follow me? That it's not going to be enough, or that I'm not, my health is not going to keep up. All these things we say to ourselves. You know what I'm talking about, right? So every time you get into that mindset, at least say to yourself, there I go again. So you at least are awake to the fact that you know you're operating outside of the divine process that you live and breathe and have your being in, okay? And that's mostly what these lessons are about, is at least to give us an idea of awareness of what we're, what we're going through. So this idea of, permanent, abundant process and making this connection, and you say, here we go, I don't really have time to make this connection. It's like I was talking to our financial advisor, and she was saying her husband, he doesn't work out. He needs to work out, but he's not working out every day. Working out every day is really important. Right? Doesn't he have his own business? He said, he's got his own. I said, well, the purpose of having your own business is so you can run your own, have your own time, do what you want to do. Right? You schedule your time. She goes, I keep telling him that, but he said, he doesn't have the time to work out. Right? But that's sort of like the doctor asking you, is it better for your busy schedule spending an hour a day working out or 24 hours a day being dead? Right? Or in the case of this lesson, which is better for you, for your busy schedule, spending 1 hour a day in quiet communion with God or 24 hours a day struggling, trying to overcome the challenges in your life. You know, because that hour a day that you give to Spirit, when you come out of it, you know, nothing may happen in the hour itself, but when you come out of it and you begin to move, you'll begin to understand you're getting some guidance that you weren't aware of before, okay? And it's imperative to our spiritual life that we spend time daily seeking first and foremost God's kingdom, which simply means seek a conscious awareness of God as the creative force that allows physics to respond to your consciousness. I love that. Okay? However, to truly be able to commit yourself to practicing seeking a conscious awareness of God requires you to completely reorient yourself to understand the reality that God is the true cause and source of all that there is. So the reorienting is, you know, it's moving our mindset out of it all comes from out here. Okay? And as the opening statement declared, I represent the source of all matter. Or in the title of this lesson, I am the divine source that never fails. I am the divine source that never fails. And when it comes to understanding prosperity, we have been intellectually and egocentrically trained. Intellectually, we've been trained to believe that all of our source comes from the material world, right? So I say, well, where'd you get all your money from? Well, you know, I did this, blah, 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 and accumulated, and it's always an external process, okay? And, you know, we're not saying that this is a bad thing. Everybody there? We're not saying, none of this is a bad thing. We're just trying to establish what is, okay? So, but it's not a bad thing, but it is an ego thing. Did everybody catch that? So when you believe that all of your resources, all the things you need in life are always coming just from out here, it is not a bad thing. It's just a thing of the ego, that part of us that believes that we are the sole generator of our own abundance. Okay, and remember Jesus' response to the disciples when they said to him, you know, Lord, eat. This is in John 4:32. He says, I have food you know not of. That's what we're trying to learn about. What Jesus meant when he said, I have food you know not of. Isn't that what we want to know? Yeah. All right? That's what we're striving to know about. What is that food, that source that Jesus was tapped into that he's saying to us, we don't know anything about it. He's not saying it's a secret. He's just saying, you have no idea what it is. And even if I explain to you what it is, you'll still have no idea what it is. All right? And, you know, this egocentric belief makes the doing of our own will more important and realistic to us than being in a constant state of awareness that's continuously open to the guidance of Spirit. Let me say that again. This egocentric belief that we have, or egotistical belief we have, that makes doing of our own will more important and realistic to us than being in a constant state of awareness that is continuously open to the guidance of Spirit, that's what our challenge is. Okay? You know, all of how many people, if you took out your smartphone right now, would have apps on there that had to do with spiritual stuff? It all has to do with work. I'm telling you, and when it comes to, you know, there's the one, I've got the name of it, I had, it would go off and, it would go off the bell, and so it's time to stop meditating. And Pam's boss, who is not into any of this at all, would go, every time he heard it go off, he would, you know. So that's the idea of, you know, this is probably, you know, a bit difficult to grasp, but the constant practice of doing our own will causes us to believe that we are gods before God. In essence, you know, our own will-driven ego has become a god before God. We believe in what our intellect tells us more than that divine inspiration that we get. Okay? So it's true that we must be willing to do our part. You know, as a Quaker, so as you pray, move your feet. Okay? We must be willing to move our feet as we pray and receive our divine guidance, but we must first be willing to be, just be, in a continuous state of conscious awareness that is open and receptive to receiving divine guidance. It's funny, we had a wonderful Red Cross CPR class yesterday. Everybody needs to do CPR, learn CPR. It was fabulous, very well done. But the woman was showing what stroke looks like. And she said, sometimes it can look like this. I started to say to her, when I look like that, my wife says to me, Butch, what are you thinking? But what I'm saying is, you know, sometimes when people are talking to you and you just haven't been inspired what to say or do, you might take on that look, you know, for a moment. You're just looking. You're not really looking at anything. You're really looking within, even though your eyes are open looking this way. You're really looking within because you're listening for guidance, all right? So, you know, that's what I'm saying. The process has got to be what you're willing to do what you need to do in order to keep that connection going. So the obvious question here is it okay to want riches and good health and all the other good things of life? And the answer is absolutely yes, okay? It's recorded in John 10:10 that Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly, all right? So I say again, it is absolutely your right to desire and obtain an abundance of all the good things you want in your life. It is actually your divine right, but not when it becomes a primary focus of your life. That is when it becomes an endless journey that seems like you can never fulfill all the things you want. Am I right? You get this thing, you ever get this thing, new car, whatever it might be, oh, it's nice, you're shining it up every day and whatever. And then after a while, the whole thing wears off, and now you're looking for the next thing. Am I right? Or is that just me? All right? So, and you know, so fascinating now is that you got, how many people have a 4K TV? Come on. 4K, a 4K TV. Come on, you got to have, I got four of them in my house, I think, right? My granddaughter pointed that out. You got five TVs in your house, grandpa. All right? But now they're coming out with what? Five. I saw something, too. There's something out there that's going to be 8K. Yeah, you know? And so now you say, oh, man, when you got your 4K, everybody's over there, oh, man, you got 4K. Nah, I don't like this no more. I want 8K now, right? And that, and they do that to us, right? And we just right in there with them, okay? And there's nothing wrong with it because when 8K comes out, I'm getting me one, right? Let's be real, right? Yeah, right, right. But I'm just saying that the world is like that, and new inventions are happening so fast because our desire for the new is perpetuating that, okay? And again, nothing wrong with it, but understanding that this new thing that I have is not me. I need to keep the connection within. All right. And so even though the abundant life is our divine right, it is not our primary spiritual goal or focus. Our true spiritual goal is the willingness to do the work to create and maintain a continuous connection to God as the true source of all good. Thou shalt put no other gods before me. Now, from a continuous conscious connection to God, the source of all supply, you'll eventually come to realize that all things are constantly working together for your highest good. So what that means is by keeping this conscious connection, stuff will happen. You kind of go, man, why is that happening? Why do I have to go through that? You know what I'm saying? But it's all part of something else. It's all part of pulling this whole process together. How many people saw, what did we see last night? The Way. With Martin Sheen. You got to see this movie. The Way. Yeah, so his and where's Pamela Paul? Is Pamela here? Pamela's not here. So anyway, it's about a journey. Yeah, isn't it like from France to Spain or something? It's the walk that St. Francis made. Yeah, and people are doing this. Like Pamela Paul, I understand, is practicing right now to do this walk. All right. The Camino, thank you. But in this, Martin Sheen's son gets killed on the trip, and Martin Sheen goes over to get his ashes, and I don't want to tell you the whole story, but he ends up taking the journey. And so I was saying to Pam this morning, the reason, you know, of course, when his son died on it, he was devastated, But he got there and he took the trip, and the trip was what he needed to do, that he never would have even considered. So you see, that's what I'm saying. So stuff will happen in your life. You go, why do I have to go through this? But it's all part of bringing you to the level of consciousness you need to be at in order to have that thing you say you want. All right? You know, that thing in the gym, what? No pain, no gain? All right? But the interesting thing about this, the more you work with spirit, the less pain and struggling there is. It just begins to unfold for you, all right, because you're in that mindset, all right? So this idea of experiences, only says, but if you continue to rely purely on your intellect, you will continuously be fooled by appearances, which will cause you to react out of fear. If you continue to rely purely on your intellect, you will be continuously fooled by appearances, which will cause you to react out of fear. You get what I'm saying? All right? So experiences of lack, whether it's lack of money or health or companionship or whatever it is not the will of God. It is, however, our own mind working through a drama it created purely on physical facts. All right? Now remember, it may be a fact, but it does not necessarily mean it is the truth. Okay? And especially it doesn't have to be your truth, even though it may be the experiences of others around you. You know, it's like the thing will come and say, pollen is high, and it's, you know, whatever that, all these things that happen from that. And you say, oh, yeah, well, everybody else is struggling from it. I guess I'll struggle from it, too. Or, you know, or the flu season. You know what I'm saying? And the news does it. They put it out there, and you say, well, everybody else is going through that, so I guess I'll go through it, too. You know, it's like that's herd consciousness. Remember the lowest level? Okay? So what we're saying here is when you're operating this high level of dynamics, stuff that's going on does not necessarily have to touch you, even though it may be touching others. So in Job 22:21, it says, agree with God and be at peace, thereby goodwill comes to you. Agree with God and be at peace, thereby goodwill comes to you. So stuff happens, your ego says, I'm going to react. Your inner spirit says, be still. And know that I am God. So agreeing with God is regardless of what is going on out here, you're agreeing with what the message you're receiving from in here. Okay? Agree with God, be at peace, thereby goodwill comes to you. To agree with God is to agree with the power and presence of God regardless of outer appearances, and we're going to agree with something else if we're not agreeing with God. We're going to agree with something. So you might as well make up our minds to always agree with that inner spirit. Whatever we agree with becomes our reality. Remember, physics responds to your consciousness. Okay? Now we read in Deuteronomy 8:18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Jesus taught us to remember God, you must pray without stopping. All right? By doing so, we establish a condition in our awareness that always remembers to turn to the power and presence of God. So that's the practice of that is you leave the house, or even when you get up in the morning. Something might be going on, whatever. You keep that focus. You keep that inner connection. Get in your car, start driving to work. How many people have to commute? All right. You got to what? Keep that inner focus. Right? Stuff is happening all the time. You may have a reaction to it because that's what you're used to doing, but then you got to what? Pull yourself back to the inner focus. That's the idea of praying constantly. So the power and presence of God is that which is holy and divine. That which is holy and divine does not seek to identify what is wrong and then try to correct it. Everybody hear that? Okay. Say it again? Okay. So the power and presence of God, right, is that which is holy and divine. That which is holy and divine does not seek to identify what is wrong and then correct it. So when you say, God, fix me, God doesn't perceive you as being unfixed. Right? All right? And that's a difficult dynamic. You have to understand that God is always being God. You know, I said to my, you've heard me say this before, but I said to my Buddhist friend, I said, people who say, you know, when good things are happening to me, it's because I was good and God gave me this good. And when bad things are happening, it's probably because I was bad and God, you know, is punishing me. Remember, I said to him, that's not God, that's Santa Claus. He could not stop laughing. But that's true, right? Remember, Eric Butterworth said, if God was like that, you're good, I'm going to reward you, you're bad, I'm going to punish you. He said, God would need a psychiatrist. It's like, am I going to be God or I'm not going to be God? I mean, he's got, you know, stick with one or the other. But we know God cannot not be God. That which God is, which we really don't know what that is. We have no real clue. We're using words to try to describe it. But that which God is cannot be that which God is. Okay? So Jesus said in Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. But to receive the rewards of the kingdom, we must prepare ourselves to be open and receptive to receive it. God cannot and will not force itself on us. Okay? We must be willing to turn to the wholeness that exists in the absolute good that God is. That which is absolute is unconditioned, unlimited, unrestricted, and free of the negative effects of all of our life circumstances. So this idea of I'm being punished for what I'm doing is not God punishing you. That's your own inner dynamic that's unfolding in that process. And it says in Psalms of 104:28, when thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good things. When thou openest thy hands, they are filled with good things. To open your hands means open your heart and your mind. Exactly. Okay? And it'll be filled. It means to be, you'll be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. So I'm going to end by inviting everyone of us to open our minds, to be filled with God's thoughts, which are all the good things that we desire in our lives. All right? The affirmation is, I am open and receptive to the good that is continuously coming into my life. I am open and receptive to the good that's continuously coming into my life. Say it with me. I am open and receptive to the good that is continuously coming into my life. Amen. All right. Thank you.